stand. You guys can grab your seat. Woo! Well, we're wrapping up our series on Hope Has a Name. What is his name?
Jesus.
What's Hope's name?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. The last few weeks, we've looked at Christmas past, present, and we're going to talk about hope's future today. If you've been with us the last 2 weeks, we gave a little analogy to Ebenezer Scrooge, portrayed as the grumpiest, tightest, mean guy ever. How many of you guys don't want to be Ebenezer Scrooge? Don't want to be him. As I went back a month ago or whenever and watched that movie over again, it did my heart good to watch the progression. He was willing, I guess he didn't have a choice, or maybe he did, to go back and look at things of his past, and he realized that there was choices he made that created the person that he became. That's what happens in life. Choices we make creates the person we become. And the cool thing is, he goes to the past and then the present, and he sees that some of his choices have affected other people in pretty deep ways. He then gets this revelation of what Christmas is all about. And all of a sudden, he becomes the happiest, most giving, like joyful dude. And I think we forget that when we talk about Ebenezer Scrooge. We think of the guy and it's just like, yeah, that grumpy old dude. And it's like, no, go watch the end of the movie, because here's what Christmas will do. If you and I let Christmas hope come in and live it, all of a sudden we can go from grumpy people to the happiest people ever. Amen? We can go from people who are like, I don't know. Life, family, in-laws, outlaws, But people will notice. He started to become so nice, people freaked out. I love the end of the movie. They're like, can't be him. This cannot be the guy. He was actually smiling. How many of you guys know we should just smile at people? We live in a culture where we don't even smile much. It's like, what up? I don't know what the deal is. It's like we're afraid to even smile. It's like, no, just smile. Be nice. Kind of works. So I want to look at, what does hope look like for our future? Toys? What do we, toys? Is that what I forgot again? Huh? I did this first service, darn it. So I don't think Zamar's here this service, but for all of you guys that helped, we just gave away 600, 700 toys on Friday. So all of you that helped, yay, right? I was out of town, but Zamar climbed up on the roof, and he was videoing. I think over 1,000 people showed up. And so I think we gave out 1,200 hot dogs and whatever else, but most importantly, we brought a lot of hope for kids who otherwise wouldn't have even had a Christmas toy. And I heard from a few people this morning. They said, it was so fun. People were like happy. How many of you guys know that's what Christmas is supposed to do? Right? So, like, as we move into future hope this morning, I want to encourage some of us that have a little bit of Ebenezer Scrooge in us. Some of you guys are like, so cool. You're like, nah, bro, that ain't me. And I pray that as we jump into 2019, which for us here at this at New Life, I feel like the Lord's given us a word for 2019, and the word is freedom. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
I pray that God brings freedom to us as we make choices. Now, hear me carefully. When we talk about hope or blessing, it's almost always conditional on choices that you and I make. We want God to be magic. We want God to be like, you fix everything, you do it, and when you don't do it the way I like, now I'm mad at you. How many of you guys know he's actually given us an instruction manual? And it's full of love and kindness. I could talk to people sometimes like, God is mean. I'm like, oh, you don't know him. He ain't mean. He's kind. Well, man, there's some crazy stuff in the Bible. I go, that's because he's a good papa who's trying to protect us. How many of you know sometimes your kids thought you were mean because you told them not to run in the street? And when they kept doing it, you had to whoop them. Okay, well, I had to whoop my kid. I'm sorry. Like, I think I'm past the statute of limitations now on anything bad. Well, some of you are like, when you say whoop, proper spanking, to be clear for some of you guys to get all crazy about it. How many of you guys know when you really love somebody, you'll go to crazy lengths to protect them? You will. God goes to crazy lengths to protect us. And this morning, I want to look at that as we talk about hope and the power of blessing this morning. So I want to, you guys, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, if you would. When I think of hope, I think there's really not a lot of hope if I don't see the favor of God's blessing in my life. If you and I pray all the time and we never see an answer or his provision or his goodness ever, you're going to lose hope really fast. It would get really depressing if you never saw God's kindness move, his healing power. We heard a couple different testimonies. I don't know if Jay shared it in this service, but he was so kind. He goes, one of the pastors at our church went to the hospital, and there was a lady from our church who had a kidney transplant a few years ago. And that kidney got infected, and that kidney died. And she was at the hospital, and the report was really bad. Like, you're going to probably have to function with one kidney because this one got infected and it died. And he said, one of our pastors went to the hospital and prayed. And it reminds me of John, who wrote the gospel. He never refers to himself in the first person of I, John. He always just said, the one that Jesus loves. I'm like, that's pretty cool. The one that Jesus loves. I'm like, I like it. Well, I don't mind saying it. It was actually Leah. So I think he didn't want to say that because it was his wife and he didn't want to maybe be weird about it. How many of you guys know all of us have healing in our hand if we love Jesus? We're all healed. Like, he heals, we just are vehicles. Amen? So she goes to the hospital and prays, right? So here's what's crazy. On Thursday night, I don't know if it was this week or the week before, we were doing intercessory prayer. We're praying for each other, and people were praying for different things, and Leah was up singing, and I felt like the Lord said, I want you to go pray for her. I'm like, cool. I mean, I've prayed for her a lot over the years. I'm going to go pray for her again. So I start praying for her, and I hear the Lord say, tell her that she has healing in her hands. I know she knows it, but I want you to remind her that she has healing in her hands, and I want her to lay hands on people because I'm going to heal them. And he said, I want to remind you of Eric Johnson from up at Bethel. He has hearing aids. And the crazy thing is, he has prayed for dozens and dozens of deaf people, and they've got healed, and yet he's not completely healed yet. How many of you guys know that would kind of mess you up maybe? But when you really understand God's kindness, it's no longer, if I get healed, then I'll do it. It's just giving out Jesus, and if my complete healing comes, great, amen? But he is the healer. So she goes and lays hands on this lady, and God restores the kidney, and the doctors go, we don't know what happened, but your kidney is 100% functioning and back to normal. So I'm like, Jesus. So when I say that there's hope and his blessing, it's real, amen? So here's one of my favorite definitions of blessing. Blessing is the bestowing of privilege, right, responsibility, or favor upon some portion of creation by God or by one whom he has blessed. God not only wants to bless us, but one of the main reasons he wants to bless us so that we can therefore bless others. Amen? So I'm going to take a look at a number of scriptures this morning. I want to start in Genesis. The first section of Genesis, chapter 1 and 2, are absolutely amazing. There are three times in those two chapters that Jesus speaks blessing. Everybody say blessing. Blessing. He speaks blessing three different times in chapters 1 and 2, and the word curse is not in chapter 1 or 2. It's not there. You guys, when God created the earth, he made everything mankind needed before he made mankind. Amen? He made everything that we would ever need on this earth, and he blessed it. And then he made mankind, and he blessed them. And never one time was there a thought of cursing or anything, because God's intention is for perfection. Amen? So let's look at the first scripture. This is the very first time we see the word blessed. Genesis 1:22. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. The first thing God blessed was everything that man was going to need to survive. How cool is that? I don't think I would have thought about that. If I made all the stuff, I think I would have just been like, pretty cool, huh? And God says to his created, right? The fish of the sea, the animals. How many guys know God understood that we would need that literally for millennium, billions of people on the earth? Aren't you glad that God blessed those so we could live today? He blessed the fruit of the ground, the fruit of the sea, right? How many guys know he blessed that steak you eat? Oh, God. Jesus, I think we should pray right now just for a minute. Here's the second time he blessed. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed. Ever say, God blessed. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. And Adam got really excited. Some of you, that's going right over your head right there. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God now takes mankind and he blesses them. As Westerners, we don't really understand the power of blessing. We don't get it. We're like, somebody sneezes. We're like, God bless you. Okay. But when God says bless, do you guys know it has a much deeper, more powerful thing? Do you guys know that every time God says, I'm going to bless it, he always does and it increases every single time? There's not one place in the Bible that I can see that God says, I'm going to bless it, that he doesn't bring increase. Now, sometimes when he says, I'm going to bless you, and you're not seeing it, sometimes it's because we're not in line completely with what he says. Amen? So when we get in line with what he says, now all of a sudden he goes, good. Now that you're doing it the way I want, guess what? I'm going to bless you even more. Aren't you glad God's merciful that even when we're not quite there, he still is kind to us? Like, he's so good. So here's the next third time that God uses the word blessing in the first two chapters of Genesis. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. And on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God blessed the seventh day. We know it to be the Sabbath, not because he needed to rest. How many of you guys know when it says he rested, the Hebrew context is he stopped creating right then. You guys know God wasn't tired. Come on, guys. You guys know God wasn't tired. He's like, man, 6 days, I made billions and billions of galaxies. I don't think I could do it anymore. How many of you guys know when God speaks, things are created? We've learned just in modern technology, there are billions of galaxies. I hope when we get to heaven, we get to sit in like a theater setting and get to go back to creation and just watch God going heaven and earth. Billions and billions of galaxies with all the craziness. I'm going to be like, this is the best show I've ever seen in my life. We're going to move to the next section. So in the very first part of Genesis, three blessings, no cursings, right? How many of you guys know Eden was a perfect place? Right? I mean, he just made everything they needed. It was this beautiful place, and he put two things in the garden that he asked them to watch out for, right? So there's the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. So the only thing God said to them is like, look, you got the whole earth. You got all the animals. You get everything. See that one tree? Just don't touch that tree. How many guys know Adam and Eve are just like Jason? You had to go down and check that present early, right? Come on. How many of you guys have checked a present early? Come on. How many of you guys ever opened a paper and it ripped? And you were so busted and you had to get some tape and try to fix it like your mom wasn't going to notice? I've got a butt whooping on Christmas before for that. I was like, Merry Christmas. What happened? I'm like, Jeff did it. Jeff did it. Jeff opened your present. Yeah, he did it. He did it. How many guys know that God is good to us? Amen? Okay? So watch. We get into chapters 3 and 4. Now there's three times the word curse exists and no blessing. Genesis chapter 3, you guys, we don't know how long it was till this happened. But something radically shifted on earth that was going to take God to turn it around. His intention was never cursing. When he created it, nothing but blessing, blessing, blessing. But he gave us all free will. He says, you have to choose. If you don't get to choose, then you guys are all robots. We're not even here right now, right? How many guys are glad we get free will? How many get your free will get you in trouble a lot? He gives choices. So let's look at what happened on the very first time this curse came. And the man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, all animals. You will crawl on your belly. You will eat the dust all the days of your life. Now watch verse 15. The very first sentence in the Bible that we see a curse come, God has a cure for the curse. In the exact same Hebrew context, it's just a flowing. Why am I saying that? So many people in our culture think God is out to get them. They think God's into like getting people and cursing people. And well, God sends people to hell. How many of you guys know God sends nobody to hell? Amen. God never made hell as an intention for human beings, number one. The problem with the curse, the biggest problem with the curse is it separated us from God in the context of which they had. Adam and Eve got to be face to face with God every day. Now this curse comes. The first person he goes to or being is the serpent, and he curses him, but then he watch what he does. He brings the cure for the curse, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. This is the first prophetic declaration of Jesus Messiah, that now that death entered, how many of you guys know when Adam and Eve sinned, it killed all of us? How many of you guys know from the minute you're conceived, you're actually dying? Isn't that a bizarre thing? You're like, wait, they're growing it. At the same time, though, because of this curse, all humans will die. He knew that. He knew he had to curse because he's a just God. People think God is mean, and I tell you, he's just. Aren't you glad he's just? Aren't you glad that he's fair? Wouldn't you hate if you went to court and you stood before a judge and you knew you were 100% right? Like, you're totally right and somebody's trying to mess you up and sue you or whatever, and they were wrong, and the judge hears the case and knew that you were right but just decided, nah, I'm gonna give. What, how many of you guys know that would make you mad? That is unjust and unfair, right? How many of you ever been sued? One of my good friends sued me one time, no joke. Here's a word of knowledge for everybody. Be careful who you go into business with. Get the word of the Lord, which I didn't. So my friend sues me and takes me to court. I'm literally 100%. I'm kind of laughing and I'm kind of mad. How many of you guys know some things are so ridiculous you almost have to giggle? It's so ridiculous. You're like, dude, are you for real? You really? I mean, you're going to keep doing this? But then there's the other side of me, the cursed side, the flesh side. I'm going to lay hands on a brother in the name of Jesus. How many of you guys believe in miraculous healing? I was convincing my friend, you better believe in healing, bro. So I'm sitting there, and I'm half tiffed, and I'm half giggling. And the case is before us, no joke, 3 in a row. This guy's suing this guy, and the judge not only gave the verdict to the guy getting sued, he also gave opportunity for these people to countersue because the cases were so ridiculous, he was having none of it. He was a righteous judge. No joke. By the time it was getting ready for our case, my friend ran up to the bailiff and said, I'm dismissing this case. Let's just drop it. So I didn't even have to go. I didn't have to stand before anything because God is good. Amen? So watch. Cursing came to the earth. The garden not only was the place, you guys, the Garden of Eden was a type and shadow of the temple to come, and even the New Jerusalem that we see at the end of the Bible in Revelation 22, the holy city coming down. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. They were taken out of the garden. The next section of the book of Genesis, there's 10 more generations in the book of Genesis. Almost all of them seemed like they were cursed. There became this, like, for generations, it was like, man, choices and things they were doing, and it just wasn't good, and it was a mess, and people were killing each other, and it was horrible. Until Genesis chapter 12, Abram, who becomes Abraham, shows up on the scene. Let's look at that scripture, if you would. All of a sudden, not a whole lot of blessing going on. We get to Genesis chapter 12, and in two verses, there's five times God says, I bless. Genesis, you guys, is the book of blessing. 1/6 of all blessings in the entire Bible are in the book of Genesis. That's a huge number. For 66 books, 1/6 of God saying, I bless you, is in literally the book of Genesis. In the very beginning, he wanted to create and set a place for us. Amen? So he gets to Abram, and the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will what? I will do what? I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a... I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. You guys, check the context. Five times God uses the word blessed or blessing. When he said to Abraham, I'll bless you, how many of you guys want God to bless you? I mean, for real, how many guys come into 2019, you would love the favor of God on everything that you do? I do. Watch, if you will learn to get into the correct position with God to receive his blessing, knowing that one of the main reasons he's blessing you is to bless other people, then he will open the heavens over your life. Yeah. Right after he says, Abram, I'm going to bless you, the next sentence he says, so that you can bless other people. Pastor Jason said it. The greatest gift you and I've ever got, his name is Jesus. Amen. How many of you guys know we should be giving Jesus to people? Come on, you guys, for real. It's the same reason people don't tithe. We're afraid. We do these things. I get it. But if his presence becomes so real to you, you can't help but tell people. You're just like, man, he brings so much joy to my life. He blesses me so much. I just got to tell somebody. Amen? So watch. Genesis continues to pour out blessing. Now, all of a sudden, as you get to the last couple of generations, this is crazy. Terah, Isaac, and Jacob are the last three generations in the book of Genesis. Terah is Abraham's father. They're the main lines, and then there's Isaac and Jacob. In the last three chapters, or the last three generations, 81 times God speaks blessing over these three generations with only three curses. How many of you guys know that those generations got in line with God? You guys know when you and I get in line with God, his blessing starts to flow. Amen? 81-3. I love those odds. I want to take the last few minutes this morning, and I want to talk about what Jesus has done for us. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Cain kills his brother Abel. If you were here a few weeks ago when we talked about first fruits, Cain decided at one point, it wasn't their first offering they brought to the Lord. They would have brought offerings to the Lord all the time. But for whatever reason, Cain that day decided not to bring his best and the first fruits to God. And so God spoke to him about it, and he got mad. Church, please hear this about God's blessing. Every time that you and I do whatever he asks us to do, he will bless you every single time. But if we're trying to do it our way, I'll figure it out. I'll make the choice. I'm not going to do it. I got this. All of a sudden, then we don't receive everything that he has for us. And the craziest thing is we start getting mad at God. Do you ever notice we get mad at God a lot and not ourselves? Some of us have been in cycles for so long. Well, he's not answering. He's not doing it. So I'm not going to do that. And really, you should be mad at you. Come on, everybody smile. Come on, say Merry Christmas. For years, I would not bless my brother. For years. Because I was so mad. And God started to help me understand favor and blessing and honor. And he says, listen, I'm not asking you to bless his sin. Church, please get this right. When people have hurt you, when people have done evil against you, God's not asking you to bless evil acts against your life. That's crazy. God's asking you to bless the person and not their action, just like Jesus died for you so you could have eternal life. He doesn't hold you responsible every time you make a mistake and say, well, you're out. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that? That you receive Jesus, he gives you mercy. That's what he wants us to do to other people. So I had to learn the power of blessing. And so in the last few years, I started to write down a lot of things that I never had in a prayer journal before, and I started to proclaim and speak blessing and honor. And my brother's name was one of them. And I have to be really super honest with you. The first few months of speaking blessing over my brother, I felt nothing. I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to do it. I just did it by faith. It didn't even kind of make sense to me. How many of you guys know sometimes we get so hurt, we don't even do things that God wants because it doesn't make sense anymore. All of a sudden, in a month or two, I just kept speaking life. All of a sudden, my heart started to change. You guys know my brother still never changed yet, right? Please catch this about blessing. God wants you to bless others to change your heart. We're trying to say, well, you know, save them. I don't want them to go to hell, but can you kind of punish them on earth? God's like, you're still bitter? You're like, yes, I'm still bitter. All of a sudden, no joke, within a relatively short period of time, I started to pray for him and mean it. Do you guys know if you'll step into a faith realm and get in alignment with God, he'll even change your heart. He'll change what you do. And guess what? For those of you that don't know, my brother, most of you have heard this. Within a few months, my brother got saved. He came into the kingdom. So you're saying you're responsible for people coming into the kingdom if you get in alignment and start praying? I'm saying when we get into alignment and start praying, God will move more on our behalf to change the heart and situations of things than if we're cursing. See, we don't think we're cursing when we let bitterness and anger. Well, I'm not saying curse to him. How many, church? If your belief system is curse him, how many of you guys know they're cursed? Now, God's bigger than all that. It's really cursing you, not them. Amen? That's why forgiveness is so important. When I let other people go, you know what I found out? I got free. We need to get free. Amen? So why? Because this is what Jesus did. Look at Galatians chapter 3. I love this context. It's from the promise of Abraham all the way back to Genesis. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse. Everybody say, from the curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing, watch this. Why did he redeem us? So that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. How many of you guys know that means you and I have eternal life if we choose Jesus? Do you guys know before that promise, Jews were in and Gentiles were out. Aren't you glad he made this promise? I am. He says, I have given to Abraham that the Gentiles to Christ Jesus so that by faith, everybody say by faith. By faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, here's what's cool about Galatians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul, who a few decades earlier was running around killing Christians. His name was Saul. Most of you know the story. He hated Christians. He didn't understand. How many of you guys know he believed he was a blessing to God by killing Christians? Watch this. In his religious belief system, he was doing God a favor by getting these believers in Jesus and their mocking of the Messiah. I'm going to go and take care of it. And God arrested his heart and opened his eyes. How many have ever had your heart arrested and your eyes opened? Thank you, Jesus. Decades later, he's writing a letter to these Galatians. You should go study this on your own time. This is great. Chapter 2, he's talking about Peter. I'm going to paraphrase for you guys, okay? So this is Paul writing to Peter and to James, the half-brother of Jesus. Hey, yo, Pete. Why you quit hanging out with Gentiles? You used to eat with Gentiles, but when James sent some of his boys over to talk to you, you've now backed away from eating with Gentiles. Do you think your salvation is through the law? Do you think trying to be pure and not hanging out with Gentiles is how you're going to get saved? Because you and I only have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So watch. Peter, who was the Gentile to the Jews, Paul, who is the Gentile apostle to the Gentiles, he's ticked off at Peter because he got word that said, look, the Jewish brothers, including Peter and James, they won't eat with Gentiles anymore because now they're going back to the law that says I'm unclean if I hang out with Gentiles. Paul connects it to the blessing of Abraham and he says, listen, I don't know if he said bonehead. I don't know exactly what was in his heart and mind, but I believe that he was walking in that righteousness I talked about earlier, that justice. And this is what he said. Listen, young man, if you think in any way, shape, or form that you sitting with any other person on earth makes you unclean, then you are just taking the blood of Jesus and you're minimizing what he did on the cross. Jesus sent the blessing of his life so that you and I could be a blessing to others, including Gentiles. So quit trying to act so holy. You should love everybody. Church, if you think in any way, shape, or form you're better than any other human being and you don't want to hang with them and you call yourself a Christian, you are missing the power of blessing. Jesus died for you so that you could go help people see. And I don't mean with carrying a big sign and being that religious weird person that makes people feel bad. I'm talking about go to love somebody. What was Peter doing? He was loving Gentiles by eating meals with them, right? He was hanging out. Let's go eat. That was a huge deal. But all of a sudden, one of his friends said, I don't know, people are starting to talk. People are starting to talk about you, man. Listen carefully. Never, ever let man's opinion, including your own, get in the way of God's blessing and love. Ever. Yeah, but those people, Pastor. Do you guys know we're all God's people? Come on, you guys, for real. Do you guys know we're celebrating Christmas, right? You know, Jesus came to die for all people. All people. The nonsense that goes on, like I get the world and their prejudice and all that. I get that, but not in the church. I don't get it. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, listen, Peter, you're an apostle. You're in the foundation of the church. You and James both are critical leaders in the body of Christ, and you're starting to put people back into bondage to try to live by a law that you can never fulfill. So stink and knock it off. The blessing of Abraham has come that all people could come in to relationship with Jesus. Amen? So as we look at the Garden of Eden, I want to take the last couple minutes, and I want to go to Revelation 22. Here's the future hope. This is like, if you don't read the book of Revelation, start reading the book of Revelation in 2019. I know some of you go, I try to read it, it just scares me. There's like beasts and stuff and like devils and serpents. And listen, if you read the book of Revelation in context, you are going to find the greatest love story ever told in the history of the earth. This is better than any epic love story Hollywood could ever create. This is bigger than anything Hollywood could ever do. This entire book is about us, human beings, being jacked up, right? And that Jesus came and died for us. And now at the end of time, the enemy is coming and persecuting us and killing us and attacking us and hating us. And all of a sudden, the Prince of Peace says, enough is enough. Now my righteousness isn't going to just reign in heaven. I'm going to reign on earth. And I'm coming and I'm going to set up righteousness. And no one's going to touch my kids ever again. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. I want to, yes, I volunteer for that. Nobody loves me like that. That's crazy. Even though I blow it, he goes, I got you. Like, wow. Last chapter, from Genesis to Revelation. Revelation 22. Watch this. This is John. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear crystal flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of this city, on each side the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are the healings of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. Watch this. No longer will there be any what?
Curse.
Any what?
Curse.
Church? God. This day is coming. It's coming. You and I will never struggle again. You and I are never going to have all the problems we have now, the depression we fight, the problems we have, the junk we deal with. The day when Jesus comes back, that curse is finalized forever. Amen? He already paid for the curse, and you and I can walk in freedom if we really choose, but we're still in this broken flesh. Amen? You and I are not getting away from broken flesh until we go be with Jesus. Here's what the promise is. There will be no more curse. Oh, God. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. Now, let me pause. I believe the greatest curse that Cain experienced, he described two different things when God came after killing his brother Abel. He said two things back to God. He said, this curse is too much, Papa. Number one, you're kicking me out of the land. Now, the land is where they were fruitful. That's where they could live off the fruit of the land. He says, you're kicking me out, and I don't know if I can even live out there. Then the second thing he said, and more importantly, is you're removing me from your presence. Like, your presence is what I live for, and you're removing me from your presence. And I believe that in Genesis chapter 3, God no longer met with Adam and Eve face to face. I know that he chased them. We know that he would come down to talk to them. But once sin entered the world, I believe every scripture we have from that point on, man could not look God in the face and live. I think something happened to Adam and Eve where God couldn't see the same way. Here's what's awesome about the price Jesus paid and what he said is going to happen. You will see God face to face. You're going to see him. And his name's going to be on our foreheads, verse 5. There will be no more night. There will not need to be light or a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel of the Lord said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord God who inspires the prophets, Abram, has sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed, everybody say blessed. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy written in the scroll. There is this comparison, this parallel from the Garden of Eden where it all started and this holy city, the New Jerusalem. So if you study the book of Revelation, a lot of times we keep saying, Jesus is coming, and then we're getting, listen, at the end of the day, God himself is coming to earth. Go study it. There's a holy city. This is what John said. I, John, see a holy city coming down from heaven. It's coming down out of heaven. And we just describe part of what it is. And it says, and you will see God face to face. And God's going to make a new heaven, and he's going to make a new earth. And you will, I will never live under a curse again. Amen? Last verse. Revelation 22, 12 to 14. This is the end of the book. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed, everybody say blessed. Yes. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Now watch the comparisons. This is crazy to me. Here's the Garden of Eden. Before they got kicked out of the garden, it says there was a garden to inhabit and to cultivate. The new Jerusalem, the city coming down, is a glorious established city by God. There was a river in Eden that flowed right out of it. In this new Jerusalem, there's a river that comes right out of the throne of God. In Eden, there was gold and onyx and precious stones. In heaven, there's streets of gold and the walls are made out of precious stone. There is a call to rule and serve in the Garden of Eden. And God says that you and I are going to be kings and priests and rule and reign with him forever and ever. The serpent in the garden deceived people and he brought shame. God says in this new city there will be no more curse on people ever again. Exile happened in the garden from God's presence. This holy city says that God's presence will be with you and I forever and ever and ever. You and I will never leave the presence of God ever again. So what do you want me to do, Pastor? Love people. Get in alignment. Learn to trust when God asks us to do whatever it is that we actually do it, even though it's hard. Well, you want me to forgive people who have done terrible things to me? Yep, I do. Yeah, but I can't. You don't know what they've done. First of all, when the words I can't come to your mind, you don't know what the blood of Jesus has done for you yet. I'm not being mean to you. I'm just telling you, you don't know the power of his spirit. You don't know the power of his blood. I promise if you would come into that understanding of who you are in Christ, you can. And mostly you can forgive yourself. Do you know that most people that I talk with, it's not so much other people, though, that's true. They have a really hard time forgiving themselves. Because they keep making mistakes and they think God's so angry and mad. I'm like, no. No good father would ever be like that. No good father looks at his kids and just curses them. No good father would ever do that. Look, my children have ticked me off at levels that it's hard to even imagine. Like, oh, none of you guys, all you holy parents. All right. My kids, for real, there's times when it was like, ugh. Never once, ever, did it come into my mind to look at them and go, you're not my child. I curse you. Never once. I'll kill you. I'll send you to Jesus right now. That came to my mind a lot. I tease my kids, but sometimes it's real. I said, you're going to make me start a prison ministry. They're like, what are you talking? I said, I'm going to kill you and go to prison. I said, that's right. Guys in prison need Jesus. I'll start there. They're like, you're serious, huh? I'm like, yes. But why am I serious? Because God is serious. It's not just some little story. He sent his son. Do you guys know that he is the Son, right? Father, Son, Holy. He sent himself to die. Abel's blood cries out from the dirt. So the scripture tells us. He confronts Cain in love and he says, what do I hear? I don't know. Where's your brother? I don't know. Why do we do that? Look at the human nature. This is what you and I do. When he asks Adam, what the heck did you do? The woman. He looks at the woman. What did you do? The devil. We do that all the time. Listen, when God asks us something, let's just get honest about it. Come on, you guys. Let's just get real with our junk. Let's quit passing the buck and let's just own our stuff because Jesus paid for it. And he wants to bless us. Amen. So, Father, this morning I'm asking that you would open the heavens. Would you just pray with me now? If the prayer teams could come, that would be great. Father, touch every one of our lives. I pray for many of us this Christmas where we will be going through families, friends, other things, and it might not be easy, it might be challenging, it might be hard. Would you open the heavens and give us grace and mercy? Would you help us to represent you well? For some of us in this room, that Jesus isn't the king of your life yet. He's not mad at you. I keep hearing it. I didn't say this first service. He's not mad at you. He's a good papa. He loves you more than you know. And the experiences that you have experienced, even from Christians, have taken your belief system and made it jaded, and it's real because those things happen to us. But God is unlike man. And he sent his son to break the curse. And Abel's blood cried out from the earth, and Jesus' blood spilled on the earth breaks the curse. And the power of Christmas, wrapped up in this little baby named Jesus, who later dies and raises from the dead so that you and I could live a blessed life. So I'm going to ask everyone, would you pray this with me? Say, Jesus, today I'm asking for your love, your blessing, your favor. I receive your kindness. I receive the gift of your life for mine. From this day forward, I will learn, I will live, and I will love with the blessing from you. Help me receive it and help me give it away. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. If you need prayer this morning for anything, please let us pray for you. Going through stuff, whatever it might be, let us pray. Let us pray.